It is good to see all of you this evening. We have some visitors and we're appreciative of your presence. I'd like to welcome you to come back at every opportunity that you have to be with us. I know I'll probably embarrass him by doing this, but we have a visitor sitting over here on the seat with Marilyn. That's Ethan Wood. In case you don't know who that is, that's Henry Horton's grandson. He was telling us a moment ago he was baptized here in 1998 during a gospel meeting by his grandfather. So, and I know you all know Henry, but it may have been quite a day or two since you've seen Ethan. We're going to talk tonight about another one of those wonderful words that the Bible gives us. Actually, it's two words, or maybe four, depending on how you want to phrase it. We're going to talk tonight about what Jesus talked about in his Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about God's care for his people. Granted, he took different approaches talking about this care, talked about the Beatitudes in chapter 5 and other things, but he talked in Matthew chapter 6 about God's providential care. Beginning in verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. For those who seek first the kingdom of God," he tells us in the following verses, beginning in verse 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I oftentimes talk about these verses that we worry about stuff. We worry about, as he says here, what am I going to drink? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And God provides everything that we need. Now, granted, it may be more for some than it is for others, and we may struggle in times of our life, but God is going to take care of us. Notice he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And then he says in verse 33, "For us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you." This, here Jesus is talking about God's providential care. It demonstrates his love to every creature that is under his control in ways that are not necessarily miraculous or supernatural. The providence of God and its working in our lives can be easily misunderstood sometimes. And maybe these thoughts that we're going to talk about tonight will help us to understand what the providence of God is. So let's first, as we did this morning with Grace, look at a definition. The word itself. The word comes from provide. It means to foresee, according to the International Study Bible. It means, according to the corresponding Greek word, forethought. And again, it comes from the International Study Bible. The Greek word is actually found twice in the Scriptures. It's translated as foresight in Acts 24 and verse 2, where it talks about Felix. The King James Version says providence in that passage. And it's translated provision in Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. But the concept here of providence is forethought and foresight, implying a future end, a goal, if you will, with a definite purpose and plan for attending that end. Again, the International Study Bible. The word providence has come to be used to signify that preparation, care, and supervision which are necessary to secure a desired future result. And it literally means foresight. but generally it's used to denote God's preserving and governing of all things by means of second causes, and that comes from Easton's Bible Dictionary. And while miraculous acts from God can be described as providential, the concept of providence is generally used to describe His care for us through natural means. So in describing the providence of God, it's common to speak of it in two senses. So when we look at how providence is described in the Scriptures, there is a general sense in which providence is described. One is the general providence, which refers to a widespread care and supervision that God exercises over His created universe, and is commonly designated as His general providence that embraces alike the evil and the good. Remember, God causes the rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. That's God's providence. He takes care of all of His creation, whether we look at them as being evil and wicked people in this world or righteous people. And this general providence of God extends to, I think, three different realms or areas. It extends to the animal world, the natural world, rather. And we see that throughout the Scriptures. The psalmist would talk about it in Psalm, like in passages like 104 and verse 14, Psalm 135, verses 5 through 7. And Paul would make mention of it in Acts 14 and verse 17, or rather Luke would, in recording Paul's message. It covers or is extended to the animal world. Again, we go back to Psalm 104. Matthew chapter 6, remember, we just read that passage in Jesus talking about God taking care of even the birds of the air. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 again. But we usually associate the providence of God in relation to the affairs of mankind in general. You look at the book of Job, and we talk about the providence of God. You look at the book of Daniel, and we talk about the providence of God, Daniel chapter 2 especially. And then Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, as He gives us the Beatitudes, and even later on in verse 45. So there is a general providence where God provides for everything and everyone under His care. But then there's a special providence, or a specific providence. There is a more specific and particular providence in which God exercises over and on behalf of the good, those whose wills are in harmony with the divine nature. And again, that comes from the International Study Bible. God's general providence is and must be special in that it descends to particulars, to the minute details of creatures in their existence, and is always and everywhere active. But the Scriptures teach that there is more special care over and ordering of the lives of those who follow God spiritually, who obey His will. Good then pertains to the wicked, in the general sense, who have not had the fear of God before in their eyes, according to the International Study Bible. I'm going to look at a couple of Scriptures and put them on the screen, and it's going to kind of show us in unmistakable terms the doctrine of special providence that's exercised by our Heavenly Father over and on behalf of the righteous. The first one we're going to look at is the Psalm. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Here the psalmist says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." God watches over all of mankind, but He takes a special interest in those who are good and righteous people, spiritually inclined people. Another passage we go to is the Proverbs. Proverbs 3 verse 6, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." That's God's specific providence involved in your life. And we just read Matthew 6 and verse 33, where Jesus is talking about having anxiety over stuff in this life. And He concludes that by saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Jesus is not telling us to just lay down and expect God to provide and take care of everything that we need. We have to work. We have to provide, but God will make sure those provisions are there when we need them. And another passage is Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." So we see here that there are some things to keep in mind in regards to the special providence of God. The ultimate end sought in man's spiritual good and not the material benefits. We go through this life and we like our stuff, don't we? We like our cars, our trucks, our houses, and whatever else we have in those things, whether it be antiques or heirlooms or something brand new. We like our stuff. And we want to take care of our stuff. But ultimately, as a child of God, our spirituality is the top of the list. Material blessings can come as a result of special providence. Matthew 6, verse 33. Remember, they're worried about stuff. Anxiety over stuff. Where is this going to come from? Where is that going to come from? And Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and it'll be added to you." Put your spirituality. You know, Marilyn and I, and I've told you this before. Before I came to Eastside, I didn't have much time for sitting on the couch and watching TV with Marilyn. But in the few chances that we had to sit together, if we were watching something that we didn't have DVR'd, recorded, we'd have to watch a commercial. And you know yourself, if you watch any TV, there are some silly, silly, immoral movies and TV shows that are advertised. And we'll look at each other and we'll go, that's at the bottom of our list of priorities of things to do. We have no interest in some of those things that the world is advertising. Everyone here has a list of priorities in your life, whether you realize it or not. At the top of our list of priorities ought to be serving God, our spirituality. That needs to be number one on the list. And material blessings are going to be part of God's providence. He's going to provide for your needs. Your air conditioning. In the next couple of mornings this week, it's going to be down in the 40s, and some of you may actually turn the heater on. You're going to be thankful for that God provided a way for you to heat your house. Or you may just throw an electric blanket on the bed and be thankful for that. God's providence in many ways, and yet God may also allow financial hardship. He may allow illness or other physical trials to occur if He deems them suitable for our spiritual benefit. You know, I've had people in my life tell me, "Oh, you'll be stronger when you come out the other side." That's not exactly what you want to hear, is it? But there's some truth to that, isn't it? If you can manage through trials of life, realizing that God may allow them to happen to see if you will be strengthened, then it is for your benefit. Look at Job. God allowed Satan to, in a sense, punish him and take most everything that he had except his life and his wife and his friends. And I've often thought, with friends like that, you don't need enemies, do you? Because they blamed him for something that he had no control over. And in a sense, this was God's providence, because after it was all said and done, and after God has his discussion with Job, Job is doubly blessed. More than what he had to begin with. So we can conclude that his ultimate goal is for our spiritual betterment, for our spiritual good. And we have to understand that. We have to believe that. And we don't need to presume that all the results, that everything that we go through is a result of God's special providence. Things that may happen sometimes are just an accident. Sometimes they're just coincidental. The great preacher Solomon talks about that in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. And today, too many people give credit to God or blame God for things that are good or bad that happen in their lives. I had a cousin years ago whose father died, and she blamed God. Said it was his fault. You can't blame God when things happen in our life that are bad. And God deserves the credit for everything, but he's not always responsible for bad things that happen in your life. He may allow them to happen so it can strengthen you in the future. Some things may be the result of Satan's activity. Remember, we read 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, and I've told you in the past, I wrote down in the margin of my Bible that where he's talking there about the three avenues of temptation, this world, this life that we're living is in the devil's realm. The devil still has some ability to work in our lives by giving us these avenues of temptation, the stumbling blocks that may be allowed to impact our lives. So we don't need to just automatically assume that God caused this or allowed this to happen. Sometimes the devil is at work. But of course, God's special providence helps us to overcome those evil days. It ultimately helped Job, and it will help us. Other things may be the consequences of some other evil man's actions, like a drunk driver hitting you or causing you to wreck or whatever. But special providence requires our cooperation. God's promise of care doesn't mean that we need to take action every time. We have to pray, and we have to work for our food. Matthew 6 and verse 11, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and with God's help. Matthew 6 and verse 33, again, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we look at God's gracious provision for us in his creation in both the general and special ways. And the latter being a particular blessing for those that are walking with God. But even so, it's not easy to always know when something is coincidental or providential. God's hand is in it. And I've had people that throughout my life have told me, well, I know that God's hand was in this. God led me down this path. You don't necessarily know that. You don't necessarily know that. So let's look at what determines providence. We need to exercise caution when it's something that we don't always understand. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but does everybody here understand 100% what God's providential care is? I don't think we completely understand it. We may have a good idea of it, but I don't know that we completely grasp everything 100% what God's providential care is. There's a lot of times people are quick to interpret what happens, and like I said earlier, either blame God or give God credit for what's happened, his judgment. If something bad happens, well, it must be something wicked going on in my life, i.e. Job. If something good happens, then those who experience it must have been a righteous person. Have you not seen the wicked in this world prosper? Is that God's providential care? It may be, but it's trying to help you to grow. And yet the Bible reveals that there are many exceptions to God's providential care. Bad things often happen to the righteous. You know, we've already mentioned Job, and bad things happened to him. He lost all of his children, lost every bit of his wealth, to the point that his friends told him, said, "You've done something," and his wife told him, "Just curse God and die." What about the early Christians in the first century? Those of the way who had turned to Christ, were they suffering like in Acts chapter 7 and 8? Was that God's providential care? Possibly. I've often wondered when the church was growing in the first century at the beginning of the book of Acts, through the first seven chapters, it almost appears that they don't want to leave Jerusalem because of the strength in numbers. And then a man named Saul comes along. And he begins to breathe threats and slanders and persecution against those of the way. Chapter 8 and verse 1 says the Christians were scattered. They went abroad. That might have been God using a persecution to get his word out to the rest of the world. I don't know. But it makes a pretty good argument. Likewise, we can't always be certain when something is providential. We could have a series of events in our life that happen, and it could either be coincidence or happenstance. We cannot determine when God is in the background clearing the stones out of our path. We take it and we move on, and we give God credit for things when they go good. And we ask for His help and guidance when things appear to go bad. And we can oftentimes easily misread the things that happen in our life, and that causes us to come to a wrong conclusion. The danger is greater if we are ignorant or choose to ignore God's revealed word, the scriptures. And we might conclude that something is right because it seems so successful, when it may be contrary to what God has spoken of on the subject. I mean, you look at our denominational friends, and I've oftentimes used the phrase that one congregation wants to grow, so they hot dog the people in. And the church down the road sees how well they've done hot dogging people in, and they decide they're going to hamburger them over to the other church, provide something better. And they say, oh, look at God's providence. Look at what He's done for us. No, that's not God's providence. That's man interjecting his thoughts into what God's plan actually is. When it comes to the determination of providence, the best we can do is have the outlook or the perspective that Mordecai had in the book of Esther. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, you'll remember the story of Esther. She was taken as a young Jewish princess, and Queen Vashti had been ostracized. She'd been exiled from the kingdom. And now Esther is going to possibly be the next queen. She's one of several young women that have been selected for this. And through the selection process, she becomes the queen. And her uncle Mordecai tells her that you need to make the best of this situation. The Jews were all slaves at this time. And you'll remember there's another man interjected into the story by the name of Haman, who hated the Jews vehemently, and he wanted every one of them killed. So Mordecai told his niece, said, you need to make the best of this situation. He says in verse 14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You don't always know when God's providence is at play. But when you have an opportunity to do good, do it. Always do what is good. Do the best you can. He wondered whether Esther had been placed in this position by God. He didn't know. In fact, when you read the book of Esther, the word God is nowhere mentioned. Never one time is God talked about. Except he tells his niece here, who knows why you've been put in this position? You've been put here, and it might be a good thing. And he didn't presume that was actually the case. He says, but if it is, do the best you can do. We need to remain open to the possibility that the Lord's will may be different from mine. We all make plans, don't we? In fact, the New Testament talks about we make plans to go here and there and do this or that and go into the city and buy this and buy that and do whatever we want to do. Some of you may have a calendar full of things planned out that you want to do. Go visit your kids in another town. You've got the date highlighted. Go on vacation. You've got the dates highlighted on your calendar. You're already making plans, aren't you? We're going to be gone, and you know what? We've got it outlined on our calendar, the dates that we're going to be gone. We've got our hotel booked. It's already booked. And I know because it's already come out of the checking account for the hotel rooms. But we have to understand that just because I may be making plans, the Lord may have other plans for us. In Romans chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Notice verse 10, "making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." Paul says, "I've got plans, but God may have other ideas of what he wants me to do." And we have to understand that. We can only be certain of things pertaining to God's revealed message, his will, the scriptures. And there are things of uncertainty pertaining to God's permissive will. If we can do this. James 4 and verse 15. But as Paul would write to the Philippian brethren, we need to give thanks in everything. Chapter 4 and verse 6. For the good things that come our way, whether it's God's providence or just happenstance or coincidence that good things happen in our lives, still give thanks for it. It might be God's providence. Give thanks for it. Because the ill things that come too, the bad things that come in our life, they can be used to increase our spiritual growth. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be financial hardship. And all of those things may be used by God to make us stronger in the coming days. Ultimately, we got to leave the determination in God's hands. I can't say for certain that something is God's providential care because we don't really know all the time. You know, the old timers have a saying, "Don't whittle on my end of the stick." We don't need to whittle on God's end of the stick. You stick to your business and let God stick to his. And we can believe in God's providence without being able to always interpret every circumstance that happens in our life. So, when Jesus preached his Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the providence of God and how it was a wonderful blessing. And we know that God is working toward our ultimate goal, the salvation of our souls. And sometimes he may use or allow bad things to happen to increase our strength in serving him. Just like the children of Israel were allowed to go into captivity. But he brought them out, brought a remnant out, a faithful remnant. God will take care of us. He will provide what we need. And sometimes, and more often than not, it's far beyond what we need and what we have asked for. But to ensure God's providential working for our ultimate good, we need to do what we talked about in this class, in this sermon. Seek first the kingdom of God. Always put God at the top of our list of priorities. I don't care what goes on in our lives. If you don't put God at the top of the list of your priorities, then his providence may not be as obvious as we want to make sure, think that it is. And if we don't put God at the top of our list of priorities, seek first the kingdom of God, when bad things happen, do we blame God? You know, it boggles my mind to have families where the next generation is unfaithful. And the parents come to me and they go, "I don't know what happened. I made them go to church. I made them do their lessons. But did you lead by example?" You see, that's the biggest way to ensure that your children will be faithful Christians. Teaching God's word not only by the word itself, which is important, but by the example. You go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapters 4 and 6, and Moses tells the children of Israel there through the word of God that they are to teach God's statutes, judgments, and commandments from the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night to their children. Our society has evolved to where we don't have dinner table time anymore. We usually will grab a burger at Sonic and go to the ball field, go to scout meetings. Trust me, I've been there, done that. You used to take a wash rag and a Ziploc bag and pull Daniel out of his ball games and make him get in the back seat and change his shirt and wash off with a wash rag so we could rush to church and get there, hopefully before they got too far into the lesson. It can be done. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make sure that God is the top of your list of priorities. Study and apply what God has revealed. We live in a society that frowns upon the Word of God. They don't want you knowing what God's Word says because that contradicts what the world wants you to know and what they preach. We have to make plans to be submissive to God and His Word. And His Word will allow us to do certain things. If the Lord wills, we can do this or that. But in everything, we need to give thanks. Be thankful for what God has done in our life. It may be His providential care. It may just be coincidence or happenstance, but in everything, give thanks, even if it's something bad that's happened in our life. One final scripture and the lesson will be yours. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12, For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from the evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't know that I've got 100% answers on what God's providential care is, but I hope this lesson will help us to understand that sometimes it is God's providential care. Sometimes it's just coincidence that good things or bad things happen in our lives. But what we need to do is never blame God for anything. And whether it's good or bad or in the middle, always give thanks to God for what He's done for us. Always. Always, always, always. But you know, that only covers those who have been baptized into Christ. You have to be a child of God in order for God to really answer your prayers. Now, that doesn't mean He won't hear your prayers and answer them if you're looking for guidance, looking how to come to Christ. He will give you an answer, but it will be from God's Word. But one of the blessings of having been immersed into the watery grave of baptism is having your prayers heard and answered by the Heavenly Father, and having God's providence, special providence, extended to you. And like we talked about this morning, His grace. But also, if you've done that, you've put Christ on in baptism and you've gone back into the world, this is an opportunity for you to make your life right so that God can continue to shower you with His grace and His providential care. So if you're here tonight and you find yourself in need of responding to the invitation,